welcome back. Excellent to see you all here this morning, and how lucky we are and how grateful we are to be able to be meeting together again. So welcome, glad that you're here. Well done, everybody. I saw you all giving your hand kisses and curtsies and waves and hellos and showing restraint. I'm sure it's been tricky for some who've really missed our Sunday mornings together. I was very mindful that just because the building was closed doesn't mean that the church was, and I hope that you've all been able to continue fellowshipping in some way with folks over the last few months, and yes, being encouraged and keeping fed in the word. But for the now, let's just give thanks that we are together here again this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for the way that you have had your hand upon us. And Father, we are grateful and thankful that we can gather as your church, as your people, and as your children. I pray that this morning, that as we fellowship, as we worship together, as we share around the communion table, that we would be encouraged, that we would be equipped, Father, but I pray too that we will be mindful of those who are not in such a happy, easy situation, that we wouldn't forget them, that we would continue to just pray for your mercy, your grace, and your compassion on those who have suffered loss of loved ones, loss of income, loss of jobs and security. Yeah, that there are many who are not in such a good place. And so we lift them before you as we come with thankful hearts to be able to gather together this morning. Thank you that you are God and that you are still on your throne. And we just give this time together to you this morning to use for your purposes. I just want to encourage us with words from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So we are going to stand and sing together. I've been told we're allowed to sing. And we're going to have a beautiful song, a hymn of praise. To God be the glory. So let's stand together and sing.
Oh, Let's worship God. Our God and our Father, we continue, as it were, our rejoicing as we come before your throne. Our God, our hearts and minds are occupied with yourself and your greatness, great things you have done. Our hearts are filled, Lord, with response and joy and gratitude to you, our God, for your goodness and what you have done. You're a God who acts. You are a God unlike any other gods. You are a great God and a God of action. You have been in action in our lives, Lord. We thank you for your great acts. There are your great acts and your little acts. And Lord, we thank you for those small acts that you have been at work with in all of our lives. Thank you for healing. We thank you for food. We thank you for the small things that you give us. We thank you for the gifts that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your great love that has been flooded into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. What great love is yours, O God? You are love. You're the one who so loved. You're the one who gave all. There wasn't any more you could give. It wasn't just some of what you had, O God. It was all of what you had, you gave for us. Our God, we rejoice in your love. We rest in your love. Your love helps us every day. Your love reaches to us wherever we are. Your love comforts. Your love heals. Your love forgives. Your love redeems. We rejoice in your love, O God, and we adore you and we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you for the prayers that you hear. Thank you, Lord, for receiving the prayers of so many pouring into your throne, pouring in so many prayers, O God, and yet you hear them and you respond to them. And so, O God, this day, as we come together again for the first time for a while, we join together. Our hearts are knitted together. We are bound together as we express to you our love for you and our worship and our adoration. And we praise your name, O God, this day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, of course, we had no idea who might turn up this morning, how many people. So it is lovely to at least have a covering. We've still got some spare spots, but I guess gradually over the weeks some more will come along. Some fresh flowers, a fresh start, a new era. Who knows what's going to happen in the time ahead. We're all aware of instructions. You've all had your name taken. You've all sanitised your hands. You're all cleansed and whatever. So you're right. Those of you who like to bring a weekly offering, the box is just inside the door. Please do that. For those of you who don't receive Focus online, there are some copies there, but there's not a copy for everyone. So we'll just see how many are taken, and if we need more, we'll do some more next week. But our hope is that You receive it online because we're not supposed to be handling things more than necessary. We weren't sure whether we'd start this morning with communion and morning tea, but we thought, righto, let's see how we go. I'll explain about communion a little later, but morning tea, just keep distance as you line up. Coffee here, where we normally receive morning tea. If you're a tea drinker, through the hall, and we'll serve on the other side of the servery. Tea this side, coffee this side. There are tables in the hall, and we're allowed to have three people sitting there, so sit there if you want to, or bring your drink back in here and keep your distance and sit there, or if you're game, go outside. We have to clean after every service, and tomorrow in the morning Vicky and I will spray Glen 20 over all the seats. We don't need to do that, but we do need a few helpers after the service. If you could go to the door of the office, Vicky will give you a little bucket, and there'll be a couple of things that you'll need to clean, because we have to wipe down things here on the stage. We have to wipe door handles. We have to wipe all those sorts of things. So if you've got a few minutes that you're happy, if the queue's too long for coffee, just do something in cleaning and then you can get coffee. So there are a few of the instructions. I guess as weeks go by, if we've made some slip-ups, we'll be in touch and let you know, and we'll alter week by week. But welcome back. It's lovely to see some faces. It's lovely to hear what's going on. Yes, you're back, Warwick, and we're pleased about that. And the drums are pleased too. Yes. So, welcome everyone. And as I've said, we can have morning tea, just keeping our distance. We're not sure. Someone said to me, do you think the police will audit us today when they see so many cars? Who knows? So let's just make sure we distance ourselves. Welcome.
So let's continue with our songs of worship we're going to sing before the throne of God above. If you want to stand, please do. If you'd like to stay seated, you're free to do that also.
we're supposed to fit within a couple of hours from the time we open till the time we close. And so we're going to try and keep our services a bit shorter than the normal to try and fit them within the hour or a fraction over so that we can stick within the time frame. We'll see if the government allow things to change. I've heard all sorts of things. I heard that they weren't allowing churches to have any singing because of the sharing of germs, but that isn't the case in South Australia. Well, not at the moment, and it's not the case at Lighthouse at the moment anyhow. So we'll run with that. Now, communion will be a little bit different today. We've got two couples, Jamie and Lauren, and Emma and Christian, who'll be handing out the elements. And what they'll do is that they will hand you, and they will hand you, you're not allowed to take it, well, you've got to take it, but you're not allowed to touch it like that. They will hand you both a little patty pan with bread in it and the cup. And so you have to be able to balance that somehow. And you can sit it beside you, of course, because the seat indicators there, and you could sit something on that. But this is the easiest way we're thinking at the moment, and we'll see in time whether things have to change. We know that in some churches they're using a little pre-packaged cup with the wafer in the top, and that all comes as a little package. But we'll see how we go with the El Cheapo version at this stage, and just see. So as they come around, they will hand it to you, and then we'll hold on to it, and we'll eat and we'll drink together. Jesus said to his disciples, "I've desired for a long time. I've craved to have this feast with you." Now, I'm not sure whether that was because the Passover only came every year, and so he was thinking, "Oh, it's a whole year since we've done it like this before, and I've just longed for this time." I wonder if he was thinking in his mind as he spoke, "The next time we'll do it, it won't be until we get to heaven. That will be a long time." Or did he just think, "I just love meeting with my disciples this way, and it's just so precious"? But of course, it was futuristic. It was to be symbolic of his body and his blood. Now, friends, I don't really know. I surmise that maybe as you've sat at home over the last few months, and you've had a piece of bread or you've had a biscuit and you've had some water or whatever you've had, when it's come time for communion, you've taken it by yourself or in your family unit, and you've thought, "Oh, won't it be good to get back together and to be able to share something that Jesus instituted?" And someone said at the door, "It doesn't seem such a long time, but it is a long time since we were together. And so we've waited 3 or 4 months. And what a privilege it is to be able to meet like this, to share, and to share in communion, Lord's Supper, Eucharist, whatever we want to call it, but to be reminded that Jesus earnestly desired to meet with his disciples. And I think we've earnestly desired to do something that's given us physical contact, or at least seeing each other. And here we are to do this and to remember Jesus. Let's not forget, as joyful or as happy or pleased as we might be to be together, the wonderful thing is that as we do it, we remember Jesus. Jesus, who is a, that's why we're here, because of Jesus. Yep, it's great to have friendship, but we're here because of Jesus. So I want to say that we may have earnestly desired to meet together, but Jesus has desired to meet with us in this special way, and for us to be reminded of him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're going to take these elements in a moment. The bread, a reminder of the body of Jesus. The blood, a reminder of his life given for us. And so we come and offer to you our thanks. Help us not to take it as a habit. Help us not to assume or presume. We thank you, Lord, for each other. Thank you that we are part of the wonderful body of Jesus. But in a very different way, we now remember his body and his blood given for us. So we focus not on ourselves, but we focus on him. He who is the living God, having given his life for his people. And today we celebrate that in his precious name. Amen. So, if Bonnets and Legallos would come forward and hand out the communion. And as I say, you may need to balance, but please do that. And then we'll share together both elements. So we are a small part of the body of Jesus here in Brighton. We're part of the bride of Christ. We are part of his special family. However we see ourselves, we are part of that. And as we take the bread and drink the cup, what we are reaffirming is, Jesus, I remember you and I belong to you. Let us eat, let us drink in remembrance of our Lord. Thank you, Ruth. Would you like to bring us our scripture reading?
This morning our reading comes from Isaiah 40, chapter 40, 25 to 31. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heaven. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. From the New Living Translation, and how great is our God.
Thanks, Ruth. So before Colin comes to share from the Word, we're going to sing another song of praise. Praise the name of the Lord our God. So let's stand together as we sing. please have a seat.
Oh, Alexander's disappeared. Right. Oh, hello, Alexander. Good. I'm going to be talking to the adults in a minute, and I'm going to be talking about eagles. And so up here, I've got some eagles, and I've also got, I did have some coloured paper. And on the back table, there's some green paper, and there's some glue, and there's some wool. So you can, if you want to, colour in eagle, or you can make an interesting bird with some coloured paper and wool and string. So if you just like to come and take these, you can put them on the back table and we'll see if anyone else wants to help or be involved. There, that hand and that hand. Thank you very much. You're right. Good. I presume we're right. Well, it's interesting to be looking at a group of people, because for the last number of weeks I've stood over here with one or two other people and with Thomas recording, and yes, I've just preached to two or three ladies who don't have internet access, and they've come and sat in the back and munched a chocolate while they've listened to the... I'm sorry, there's no chocolates for everyone today. Right, so next week someone could just bring in a couple of boxes of Hagues, would that be all right? And we'll be right and we'll march along. Now, this section of scripture I've purposely chosen today because it's our first day back. It's a whole new era. And some of you would have quoted many times, "They that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary." A few facts about an eagle. An eagle can actually fly up to 160 k's an hour. Fairly fast. A wingspan up to 3 metres wide. Big bird. Those of you who have seen eagles in their natural situation may have seen them building a nest, often 20 or 30 metres from the ground, and you will have noticed that they don't build nests with a canopy of leaves. They tend to build nests in forks of large trees. That's so they can look around, because they can actually see a rabbit 3 kilometres away. So they know, you know, eagle eyesight is true. The nest can be up to 3 metres wide, and it can be up to 3 metres high, so it can almost, not a cube, but can be pretty high and pretty wide. And in the middle of that, they make a little 40 centimetre area that's like it's the nest, and they fill that with feathers and bits of wool and everything else. But the nest is built, or the eyrie as it's called, is built in a special way. It's built, first of all, with lots of sticks to give it strength. And then underneath, it has thorns. And then in the nest part is the wool and the soft down or whatever. And that's where Mrs. Eagle lays the eggs, 2 or 3 at a time, well, in the season. And eagles mate for life. They're friends for life, unless Mr. or Mrs. dies. It's interesting, the Gospel of John, the fourth Gospel in the Bible, is often called eagle. It often has an eagle as a symbol, because it was seen by Christians that, like the eagle, they could look straight into the sun, and Christians could look straight at eternity and not at all be fearful. Lots of symbolism. Flies higher than any other bird, bestows freedom and courage, symbolises honesty, truth, power and authority. The interesting thing, however, and these are just facts that I've found, when you cover the eyes of an eagle or put a hood on an eagle, you may have seen them at some of those sanctuaries where they have raptors and whatever, and they put a cover, the eagle goes unconscious as soon as you put a cover on its eyes, because the eagle operates a lot on senses, particularly its eyesight, that it can see so well. Now, why have I chosen this section of scripture? Because what happens with the eagle is once the little eaglets are born, and mum and dad feed them, of course, when they think it's time for them to fly, they start to pull the nest apart. And first of all, they pull out the big sticks. First of all, they pull out the feathers and the down, and if the eagle won't move, or the little eaglet won't move, then they pull out the sticks, and if the eaglet still won't move, then they keep pulling them out until the prickles at the bottom stick in to the baby. Yes. And if that won't get the little eaglet out of the nest, then the next thing, Dad has the job of flying by the nest with a dead rabbit or something else and just close by to the baby. Because until it gets out of the nest, it's not going to get fed anymore, because Mum and Dad have, this is it. So it flies, Dad flies close. And so it's almost a game until the little eaglet almost falls out of the nest with starvation and Dad just lets it drop to the ground and die. No. What does Dad do? Dad goes under the little eagle and lifts it up. And so the little eagle starts flying. And Dad keeps doing that and then takes it right to the ground and gives it a feed. And that's how the little eaglet learns to fly. Hey, isn't that what God might have done with us? Kicked us out of the comfort of the nest that we've had for so many years and stuck in a few prickles. And I don't want it to go back to what we were. I hope we don't want it to go back to what it was. Because, friends, it's a long time since we've seen some conversions here. And isn't that why we exist? To help people understand about Jesus and come into his kingdom. Now we exist as well to support and encourage each other, to pray for each other, to pray for the world, to be part of that. But we also exist to tell people about Jesus that they might come into a saving knowledge of him. So I think that this is probably, and I don't mean that God has caused the virus at all, but I believe that God uses all situations for his glory. And maybe this is a time where we as the church here, because that's where we are, but maybe in the Western world, need to say, God, what new thing are you doing? You've kicked us out of the comfort of our nest. We felt we were secure forever and ever. We felt we were going to be okay in the nest and just being fed as Mum and Dad Eagle came in. But something's happened and we're not the same. And we may never be the same again. Hooray! We might never be the same again. We may have been kicked out. And we may have to rethink, actually, what will we do now? How will we operate now? Will we go back to old ways? Or will we allow something new under the guidance and Spirit of God to do something with us. I think God probably will. Now, that of course is probably not why Isaiah wrote this, because he was writing to people who had been in captivity. They had done the wrong thing, the people of God, and they'd been taken off into captivity and brought back in all sorts of different ways. And he had kept saying, trust in Yahweh, trust in the living God. And they had said, oh no, we'll trust in Egypt or we'll trust in Assyria. It's interesting how often the eagle symbol is used on caps of army and on flags for war. The symbol of the eagle. And that, of course, if you look at any Egyptian stuff, you'll find that the eagle is used there. So was Isaiah just sort of saying, hey, you're trusting in Egypt or other countries to deliver you, but actually trust in the Lord, and then you will actually soar up beyond the eagles of armies, you will soar up like part of my creation. And again, I say, for all of us who follow Jesus, maybe this is a shot in the arm or a kick in the tail or whatever it is to say, let's not trust in things that maybe we've trusted in before. Because maybe some of the things we've trusted in before have not necessarily been of God. They may have been of society and they may have been comfortable, but maybe they weren't quite right. So if you've got your Bibles, and you might have noticed that you have to bring your Bible now, we're not allowed to have them in the pews, otherwise we've got to wipe them every week, and we're not going to. In verse 27, this was the problem of these people. What did they say? They said, my way is hid from God. Basically, God has disregarded me or forgotten me. excuse me a minute, Israel, but actually it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about God and what he's doing. And we need to think about that too. We need to be reminded that it's not all about us. It's great to be together. But actually, we together are about God. Now, some of you may have read the book called Through Gates of Splendor, written by a lady called Elizabeth Elliot. There were five families that went to the Alka Indians, and they thought everything was okay in terms of ministering. And what happened was that they landed a plane and the Indians came out, the Alkas came out, and they thought everything was fine, and those five men were killed. Now, there's been some beautiful restoration, and one of the grandsons or sons of one of those men has actually had communion on the wing of the plane with some of the ancestors of the men who killed the relative. But one of the ladies, Barbara, wrote a book because people kept sending, it was all around the Christian world, people kept sending letters. Oh, how sad, how dreadful, you know, retaliation and all of the rest. And she said, self-pity is a tool of Satan. It simply rots away a life. Self-pity is a tool of Satan. It rots away a life. And I think this is probably here, you see. Why am I forsaken? Why have you forsaken me, God? Well, hang on a minute. It's not about you. It's about God. And he hasn't forsaken you. God is still there. And that's exactly the truth. In the next verse, Isaiah says, haven't you known? Haven't you heard?
The Lord is everlasting. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He hasn't forgotten you. It's just that things aren't going the way you thought they would. And that's sometimes the situation with us, isn't it? That we think things should go a certain way because we're followers of Jesus and we should be looked after in a certain way. And these people thought they were the chosen group, and in some ways they were, but it didn't mean everything would just be nice and cosy for them, just like the eagle in the nest. There comes a time when you have to fly and to trust. So that was the position. God hasn't changed. And when we go into self-pity, we go into the distortion of reality. Oh, God isn't dealing with me the way he should. Oh, well, God doesn't care. And it's very quick that we can move from that position to another position and then to throw God out. So what does Isaiah say? Well, he says God actually gives power to the faint, and if someone hasn't got any strength, there's an increase of strength. It's a bit like that eagle. No strength, the little eaglet. The strength of Dad. The strength of God when we feel we've got no strength. The strength of God underneath. Youth shall faint and be weary. Young men will fall exhausted. Some people have said, oh, this is the enthusiasm of early Christian commitment. Oh, excited, yes, wonderful. And then a collapse. And we've talked about that before. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, it doesn't mean sitting here every day in church twiddling your thumbs waiting for the Lord. Those of you who have had children or organised a wedding or a party, you know you're excited about the date, or you're excited about the kids coming home from school sometimes. And you're thinking, oh, but you're not sitting at home just, righto, well, it's 9 o'clock, they've just gone to school, they'll be home at 3:30, so I'll just sit and wait. No. And if you're organising a wedding, you're not saying, oh, you know, it's 6 months down the track, well, it'll happen, whatever. Part of waiting can actually be active waiting. Preparing for kids coming home from school, preparing for a wedding. And I think that's true here. Those who wait on the Lord, how do we wait? Well, we wait with excitement, we wait in prayer, we wait in reading, we wait in service, all of these things. We don't just sit and wait. It's not rest, it's not laziness, it's not procrastination. It's an active waiting, but it's a dependency upon God and what he is doing. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. God comes underneath and up we go, and then he lets us go as we keep trusting him. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. You would sort of think enthusiasm and then running and then walking is the next step, stopping still. Well, he's saying walking. And I think that's a Christian life. It's not running all the time, but it's actually just faithfully walking step by step each day, trusting God. Now, we are Christians. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Do you ever think the eagle looks down and thinks, would be very good if I was a flamingo. You know, really, I'd rather have some pretty feathers. Or maybe I'd be a sparrow and I could just creep around and grab a few crumbs instead of having to eat meat and catch rabbits. Now, I wonder, do you ever wish you were someone else or something else? In the sense of, do you ever wish you weren't a Christian? It's interesting, isn't it? Do we wish we were someone or something else? Well, friends, we're not. We're followers of Jesus, born again by the Spirit of the living God. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. It's great. Yes, it is. Good. Thanks, Carlene. Yeah, it is. And so we depend upon God. We wait and our strength is renewed. Sometimes we think, I think I'll give up. Is it too much? But then we can just wait on God in prayer, in service, in trust, in faith, however. And we then realise how, as it were, Dad comes underneath and just lifts us up to give us the strength to fly as we need to fly. One of the dangerous things, I think, is that we have become so accustomed to everything being push button instant. We now press the button and the microwave works. Everything happens straight away. Some people ring up and the meal comes. How amazing. Yes, how amazing. Now, this wasn't thought of a few years ago. But friends, in the Christian world, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because waiting is not wrong. Waiting is not long. And sometimes we do have to wait for a period of time. Because God doesn't always act straight away in the way that we want or think he should. We sometimes have to wait. So we wait, trusting in prayer and in other ways. God is faithful. Now, I know the McDonough parents are here and they're very proud of their son, but Andrew has written a book called Webster, the Preacher Duck, which I love. It's about a minister who preaches his heart out. And this is what everyone, and you can have a look, laugh. This is what everyone does in church. They all jump around and wave their handbags and, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't God marvellous? Isn't God wonderful? And this is what they do. But then when Webster has preached and he's walking home, these are the ducks. Oh, they're just sitting here. They've gone to sleep with their Bible. And they're pointing up to the sky and saying, isn't it marvellous? Ducks fly. And the message is simply, here we are all flying in church. God is wonderful. This is what ducks are meant for. But actually, there's only a few who are doing what they're meant for. So, Christian friends, let's all do what we're meant for. And let's not be frightened that we've been stirred up or kicked out of the nest, because who knows what God is going to do with us in the future as we wait on him and trust him. I think it's an exciting time because we won't ever be the same again. And in a way, that's probably very good. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you are able to work all things together for good for those who love you. And this is a horrible time, health-wise, world-wise. There are thousands of people dying as a result of COVID, and we're horrified at that. And at this stage, there's still no immunisation, vaccine, cure, or anything else. So we call out to you, our Father, that you might guide those with wisdom and medical knowledge to find answers. But at the same time, like the eagle kicked out of the nest, may we, having had our complacency, having had our luxury disturbed, may we trust in you, rest upon you as the young eaglet does. And Father, may we wait upon you as you guide and direct us. May that be true of us as individuals, as families, and as the church. For we pray through Jesus. Amen.
songs, Colin. We're going to finish with a song again, just a reminder of the goodness and the grace of God. Our chains are gone. We have been set free. We are the people of God who've been called by his name and purchased by his sacrifice because of the amazing grace that he's shown us. So let's stand and sing that together as we prepare to head out into this week. Thank you for that beautiful reminder that because we are yours for all eternity, for this life here on earth and all that is to come. And so, Father, as we've been reminded and challenged this morning, I pray that we would go out to live our lives like a redeemed people, who know what is in the future, in that we are your people who are called by your name for your purposes, to be your witnesses, to be you to this world, and to show the love of God to our friends, our families, our neighbours, our work colleagues, to this world that we live in. So thank you that you send us with your Holy Spirit to equip us and empower us, that you give us all grace and peace and comfort as we go out to face this world. So thank you, Lord God, that we go held in the arms of a loving Father, lifted on your wings. So thank you as you go with us. And we pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'd encourage you as you go, please do go online, have a look at the focus that has all our prayer things. There's different things that are happening with people in our community. And also there's a wee note, as we are starting together again, we will be putting together more rosters for people to do some of the jobs that need to be done around the church. And if you've either if you've been on those things and you're happy to continue, please let me know. If you haven't been on them but you'd like to step up and take some responsibility or help in some of those things, please do let me know as well as we get things kind of sorted, ready to run again. Thanks. The offering is on the way out. So yes, if you have an offering that you would like to put in the box, that's on your way out. Thank you. So